Margaret Christakos is one of those authors who comes to us with chapbooks, which is awesome because as much as we like publishing real books, the chapbook is where all of this began. They are our roots, and it is important to acknowledge one's roots. As far as we can tell, chapbooks are where all the sorting out of things takes place. And we are glad to have someone like Margaret working things out with us in chapbook form. We are always returning, it seems, no matter how big some of the books we publish get, to smallness. The smallness of form, the smallness I felt all those years ago standing on the street trying to sell a chapbook that I had made, and the smallness of a community that can fit in a room like this one. Please welcome Margaret Christakos.
Thank you, Jay. And I just want to say how thrilled I am that Book Thug is with us and that they have this incredible inclusive capacity that is just, it's quite rare, and it's built all of us up as a community, which is incredibly appreciated by all of us. This reading... is from Retreat Diary, which was a chapbook that I originally read from at Lexiconjury. Jay heard it, came up to me, said, "Hey, like that." And that's how the chapbook originated. And I'm reading it from where it appears in a Coach House book, Sooner, which was published 3 years later. And I explicitly wanted to do that just to say that our communities are really interwoven and knit together. And I think for me as a writer, that's been really important, that there's this openness to that. That in itself buoys me up. And I chose to read from Retreat Diary because it's this text that produces a space where opposites are made to exist together in the same text. Constantinople was a thick-wristed dyke fag who liked to banana ride a rickety skateboard to his/her day job at the Contemporary Photography Gallery, and then pitch dirt from the square plot she/he'd drawn on a patch of dry swamp to clear a basement for his/her future cabin, around which she/he'd rein a half-dozen nags saved from the glue factory and whistle Pavarotti Muscuri into the spectral glimmer of a frost-tinged October evening. She/he drank tequila. He/she dreamt hard fucks, yet crumpled under a firm hand set to penetrate her/his own scared and unhumid asshole. He/she sidled up in thick jeans. She/he baked like a vegan fiend, smoked pot and fried hemp, and liked to wake up with a really good hangover. He/she left redneck siblings to their own subdivisions and wrote her/his Alzheimer's stolen mother/father once a month on flowered stationery in a curvaceous delicate script, and sometimes enclosed a pressed violet for the scent and the delicate physical presence it imbued as it flittered onto the confused geezer old lady's bedspread. She/he paid for his/her own house cleaner. He/she pumped weights at the Y. Her/his navel was pierced with a copper helix, but no one could so much as breathe on his/her tits, or she/he'd yank the offender by the collar onto a leathered bar stool and over-the-shoulder frisbee it into ferocious, upbraiding rotation. "Simmer down," he/she'd snarl. "Know your boundaries, or else be prepared to suffer some pretty unique consequences with me." A kind of pickup line that flopped with some, but worked like a charm with the rabidly needy ones who awaited a chance to be boxed off into a timeout for any minor infraction of the flesh. She/he could not sleep and instead sat up batting mosquitoes and masturbating. The soft, wetted penis clitoris grew with her/his hands' concentric encouragement to the hallucinatory rootlessness of an adult navel, or the yummy bulb of an erect clit cock, or the licked lump of an eyelid. A vacuous eternity of night swirled around in her/his mind, agitating the immeasurably friendly and benign drift of autumnal sky perforated by the sparkle of stars and a massive orange three-quarter moon that cast a blue-silvered stripe across the lake's rippling scale. This was landscape's itinerant desire, spotlit for all those who pretend its irrelevance in the globalist fury for cash and status and virtual profit. She-he was full of hope outside that screen as his-her cunt cock began to swell and pulse, and the canal inside-outside her-him began its emergent shape-shift toward a certain density of presence shared by the body's other vital organs, an embedded auto-erectile insistence of the interior self straining in a circulating preordainment through skin to the vast thirst of air outside him-her. As though the entire room were sucking her, him off, drawing in the fat, slick projectility of tissue to a suspended peak of hunger for its own explosion, its own expulsion of gelatinous ejaculate onto the apricot-colored sheet and sweat-dampened sleeve of the room's air. Breathing quiet then, drowsing. For the morning would appear as it always did, and the neighbor's sad dog would lope off kilter to the camp's door stoop, demanding a scattering of milk biscuits and a winsome pat or two on his, her mongrel red shoulder. Harvest today. A cupful of raspberries and one green bean. Tomatoes will wait two or three more days, and one can only pluck as many zucchinis as it is probable to imagine consuming without wincing remorse. Why break the stem sooner than essential? The extravagant golden blossoms of the parent plants are fancy bouquet, no deluxe banquet ready. But each petal will crumple and retract and curl until it resembles an ancient cigarette as yellow as the skinny fingers that roll their own and smoke incessantly, and then these left behind papery tubes will molt and turn to compost crushed with the raggedy dregs of broad once green zucchini leaves in the garden patch, while 8 or 10 or 20 of the vegetables will be chopped and fried and sliced and breaded and cut raw for crudité trays that feature homegrown garden favorites. He, she is able to write. Thanks a lot.